Be help. So I was looking at it.
We better get those. We can discuss it under this once we start. Yeah, once we start. All right. Good afternoon. This is a work session on. This is a work session of the North Dakota Public Service Commission on case number PU09151, which is the Minnesota Power wind farm in Oliver and Morton counties, where we've had the hearing, and now we're just discussing prepared to discuss the draft of the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and the order. This is Kevin Kramer, along with Tony Clark and Brian Kalk from the commission, and staff members Annette Bendish and Jerry Lean. With that, Tony or Jerry, how would you like to proceed? Would you like to go through the whole thing?
Sure, I could just kind of go through it and hit the high spots anyway.
Sure.
The order was pretty standard.
Did you use our new format that we've developed?
Yes, and we were able to give it to the company beforehand, so we didn't have to do a lot of work. This is their draft with track changes turned on for what we've added. The beginning stuff, I can just kind of skip that if that's...
I think you can go right to the findings.
Okay. So, one, Minnesota Power is an operating division of Elite, Inc. Elite's a Minnesota corporation and a Minnesota public utility. Elite, Inc. is registered to conduct business in North Dakota. Three, Minnesota Power proposes to construct and own a wind energy facility, Bison One Wind Project, to be located in Morton, Oliver counties, North Dakota, approximately 10 miles northwest of New Salem.
I'd have to look at a map, but I was under the impression that it was north and northwest. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well,
it's northwest, which makes it sound like it's out.
And when I actually, it's funny you say it, because when I read this morning, my first thought was, with a footprint like that, it's almost hard to characterize it as northwest, but...
I would describe this north and west.
New Salem's on Highway 31, right?
Right.
So the boundary goes up against 31 on the one side, and then it's here. This is Highway 31. So it's north. I can put north and northwest if you want to.
Or north and west, yeah.
North and west, you like that better?
Well, that's just it. You know, it's important that...
I'd say north and northwest.
Yeah, there you go.
Or north, northwest.
I don't know.
Okay. North and northwest.
Or you could describe it like somebody from there might and just say it's north of the town and west.
There you go. 95% of the state.
That's exactly right.
Project area consists of approximately 9,500 acres, 15 square miles. The wind turbines will be placed throughout the project site. Associated facilities to be constructed within the project area include access roads, underground electrical and feeder lines, an electrical substation, meteorological towers, wind monitoring stations, and an operations and maintenance building. North Dakota Century Code 49-22-16 provides that no energy conversion facility site shall be designated if it violates any county or city land use, zoning, building rules, regulations, or ordinances. Morton and Oliver counties require zoning permits for construction. Minnesota Power has obtained all necessary permits.
Just a question, Jerry, on how do we know they've got all the permits? Did they give you a copy of them, or what's our audit track?
I don't know if they filed them all yet or not. I think if I remember right at the hearing, they said they had gotten both of those permits in there. One was pending.
But they have since received it.
Okay.
So how do we verify that? Do you go?
They'll file.
Yeah. When we do the pre-construction conference, I remind them that they need to file all of their copies of their permits.
Okay.
Project design. The project will have a nameplate gross generating capacity of 75.9 megawatts, consisting of 33 2.3 megawatt wind turbines and associated facilities. Assuming net capacity factors of 45%, projected average annual output is estimated at 300,000 megawatt hours per year. Minnesota Power plans to use Siemens 2.3 megawatt turbines. These are utility grade wind turbines with a nominal nameplate rating of 2,300 kW. Each turbine will have an 80 meter hub height, 101 meter rotor diameter. Each turbine begins operating at wind speeds of 4.0 meters per second or 89 miles per hour and reaches its rated capacity at 2.3 megawatts at a wind speed of 12 to 13 meters per second, which is 26.8 to 29 miles per hour. Each turbine is designed to operate at wind speeds of up to 25 meters per second, that's 55.9 miles per hour, and can withstand wind speeds of more than 55 meters per second, which is 123 miles per hour. Each tower will be secured by a concrete foundation that can vary in design depending on the soil conditions. A typical foundation extends 7 to 10 feet below grade, where it spreads to a final diameter of 40 to 60 feet at the base. Turbine lighting is limited to warning lights required by the Federal Aviation Administration. And it looks like I had that highlighted in there to be pulled out for the second. So we'll scratch this second repeat of that. Yeah. The control panel inside the base of each turbine tower houses communication and electronic circuitry. Each turbine is equipped with a wind speed and direction sensor that communicates to the turbine control system to signal when sufficient winds are present for operation. The turbine features variable speed control and independent blade pitch to assure aerodynamic efficiency. Electricity generated by each turbine is brought to a pad-mounted transformer where the voltage is stepped up to a power collection line voltage of 34.5 kV. This electricity is collected by sets of underground power collection lines. The 34.5 kV collector system transmits power to the project collector substation. At the project substation, the power will be transformed to 230 kV and transmitted via overhead 230 kV transmission lines interconnecting with the transmission grid at the existing Square Butte substation. Electrical energy is converted from AC to DC via a DC converter station within the Square Butte substation. Electrical energy from the Vizon 1 wind project will be transmitted to customers via the existing Square Butte DC line, which extends from the Square Butte substation to Minnesota Power's Arrowhead substation located near Duluth, Minnesota.
Hey, Jerry, just a knowledge question again. When you convert AC to DC, what does that thing look like? What's the size of that? Is it a 4 foot transformer?
It's the size of a big transformer. The whole thing sits in a fence area, substation, and there's switches and so forth in there, and the converter box. Yeah, it's. I don't know. The whole substation lot is probably about the size of this room, if I remember right. Okay. So
that's not there right now, though, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of the DC line that's been there. Actually, there's two substations there.
Sure, because we're already pretty coal power through there. Okay.
No yeah, problem. And there is a second substation that we just put in there for the existing wind project that's there, and then there's a jumper line that goes from that substation into the AC-DC converter. It's right by the lake. Makes it interesting to go down there and see the lake and stuff. 11, United States Department of Energy wind map for the state of North Dakota indicates that the wind resources within the project area are class 5 and class 6. The project will have average annual wind speeds of 8 meters per second, equivalent to 17.8 miles per hour or higher, comparable to wind power class ratings of 5 and 6, indicating an excellent wind resource. Wind data was collected from 4 meteorological towers constructed on the project site area.
Do we usually characterize the wind resources? That seems subjective to say
I'd say so.
You know, we could, we have kind of in some of these past ones, we've indicated that it's a good area.
Well, that's what I'm just saying.
It could be that. If you look at those NREL maps.
And the scale. And I think it only goes to 6, yeah.
No, there's like Superior or something like that. I mean, there's one that's outstanding.
Okay.
But they actually have labels on the class 4, 5, 6. And so I wonder if
that's where it comes from.
Okay. You want me to verify? I can take a look and see if we're labeled at the is excellent on that map.
Yeah, I think it probably is, but just go to the NREL map.
Yeah, I know the map.
Excellent wind sources according to the definition of blah, blah, blah.
Okay, 12, construction of the Bison 1 wind project is expected to take approximately 2 years at a total estimated construction cost of $175 million. Minnesota Power anticipates commencing construction on Phase 1A, 16 wind turbines, in October 2009, testing and operations by fall 2010, and commercial operation to begin in late 2010. Minnesota Power indicates anticipates commencing construction on Phase 1B, 17 wind turbines in fall of 2010, testing and operations and commercial operations to begin in fall of 2011. Safety features will be incorporated into the wind turbine. Each turbine will be equipped with supervisory control and data acquisition, SCADA, communication technology to control and monitor the turbine. In addition, each turbine is equipped with a lightning protection system and is grounded and shielded to protect against lightning. 15, construction operation of the Bison 1 wind project will conform to the requirements of the National Electric Safety Code. Siting criteria, 16, that's our standard paragraph from the avoidance areas and exclusion areas and selection criteria.
Hey, Jared, before you go too far, back to 13. The timeline again. So this October, they hope to start building stuff. Next fall, they go testing and operations, which was 2010.
Yeah.
And then late operation later that year. And then the next fall, which is the same as before, they start adding stuff. Why do they do it in the fall? They can't start construction earlier than that? Or that's just the way they got it timed out, or we don't usually follow that? Or
I don't know. We'd have to.
Just right. Curious why.
Yeah. We'd have to ask them why fall 2010.
I mean, is there like a flyaway concern, or is it just, I mean, just
we do often get some concern from Fish and Wildlife or Game and Fish not to do construction in prairie areas during the nesting season, which is generally through the like first couple weeks of July. But somehow they have fall slated, and
that's fine. Just once again, questions.
Okay, but yeah, they are on the phone if you want to ask them. And keep in mind also they've got a transmission line to site here too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 14, safety factors will be incorporated. Whoops. 16, 17. Figure 15 of the application, labeled Prime Farmland and Soil Distribution Map, shows that approximately 33% of the site is prime farmland soils, most of it located in the southeast and northern portions of the site. The final layout will site only a limited number of turbines and facilities in prime farmlands. Even if all of the turbines and access roads were placed within prime farmland areas, only 41 acres approximately of prime farmland would be impacted, or approximately 1% of prime farmland in the project site. Unique in prime farmland to be disturbed by this energy conversion facility is such small acreage as to be of negligible impact on agricultural production. So as you recall, prime farmland was an exclusion area unless we make that finding. Approximately 50 acres of agricultural production will be impacted due to turbine placement, access roads, operations maintenance building, and the project substation. Wind turbine configuration will not result in significant impacts to agricultural production. No impacts on the agricultural quality of the cropland are anticipated. if compaction of soils occurs during construction, Minnesota Power will work with landowners to alleviate the compaction. Minnesota Power submitted evidence to demonstrate that the proposed energy conversion facility would not have significant impact on the selection criteria set forth in North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 6909. Minnesota Power submitted evidence to demonstrate its commitment to maximize the benefits of the proposed energy conversion facility as far as is possible, so as to meet the policy criteria set forth in the code. No significant adverse impact is foreseen on the ability of the affected area to provide community services such as housing, health care, schools, police and fire protection, water and sewer, solid waste management, transportation, or public safety. The proposed project area is expected to be of economic benefit to the affected area. Yeah, I strike area out of that. The proposed project is expected to be. The only avoidance areas identified within the project are cultural resources, sites, and a wetland. The proposed road accessing turbine 32 along the west edge of section 4 of 140 North 86 West will result in a quarter acre fill of a jurisdictional wetland in the Sweet Acre in the Sweet Briar Creek watershed.
Can you write out township range? Because that's just awkward with
sure.
all the letters there.
Yeah. The impact will occur within the 60-foot-wide statutory easement along the section line. This low-quality wetland habitat is already partially impacted by an existing two-track agricultural road. The impact of Minnesota Power's road improvements upon the wetland resource will be negligible. Minnesota Power has chosen to use section line easements when practical in order to minimize impact to agricultural production. Minnesota Power will obtain appropriate permits from the United States Army Corps of Engineers as necessary for any jurisdictional wetlands impacted. Cultural resources. With respect to historical resources that are not designated as exclusion areas, Minnesota Power has consulted the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. Class 1 and Class 3 cultural resource inventories, including review of ship site and management files, were conducted by HDR Engineering, Inc. of Minneapolis, Minnesota for the project area. During the course of the inventory to date, 4 previously recorded archaeological sites and 6 previously recorded site leads were identified within the data gathering area. None of these sites or site leads will be impacted by the project. To date, 2 new archaeological resource sites were identified within the project area. One is a lithic scatter, and the other is a prehistoric scatter with associated cairn and 2 depressions. These sites will be avoided by project construction. To date, SHPO has concurred with the no historic properties affected and no significant site affected determinations for this project. HDR Engineering will be conducting an additional survey due to revised location of a few of the project facilities. A recommendation will be forwarded to SHPO for review and seeking concurrence with SHPO. And I'm going to have to check on that. We might already have that. If so, I'll fix the language in there. Minnesota Power has consulted with numerous local, state, and federal agencies, which are identified in Appendix C of the application and Appendix C of the August 18, 2009 supplement. 2 agencies provided significant input were the North Dakota Game and Fish Department and the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. Neither agency has objected to the project. The North Dakota Game and Fish Department indicated its primary concern is with disturbance of native prairie and wetlands. Minnesota Power met with North Dakota Game and Fish Department to discuss the project area and plans to mitigate any impacts. The disturbance of native prairie and wetlands will be minimal. Concerns of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service focused on migratory birds, wetlands, and native grasslands, threatened and endangered species. Minnesota Power will implement measures to avoid and minimize effects to wildlife at the proposed site by locating facilities away from habitat and wetlands when possible. At the request of Fish and Wildlife, Minnesota Power is developing an avian and bat protection plan that will be implemented during construction for post-construction monitoring. The ABPP will include protocols for field technicians to report and document avian mortalities during routine maintenance operations. Federally listed whooping crane has been known to occur in Morton and Oliver counties. There is limited suitable roosting and foraging habitat for whooping cranes in the project area, so cranes may use the area at some point during the life of the project. The population size of whooping cranes in the area is small, and the project area is located in whooping crane migration corridor, where 75% of confirmed whooping crane sightings in North Dakota have occurred. So the likelihood of mortality will be small. Although primary threats to the species include loss of roosting and foraging habitat and collisions with power lines and fences, only 50 acres, 1% of the project area, will be permanently disturbed.
Can we go back just a little
bit? Yeah.
Something about that first part of that doesn't really agree. The, the population size of whooping cranes in the area is small. Okay, I mean, so
that's,
I get that. That's
yeah.
Really the reason why.
Yeah, that's true.
The mortality is small, but when you put that other sentence in the middle of it, it makes it sort of a non sequitur. That
yeah.
The population size of whooping cranes in the area is small, and the project area size is located where 75%
yeah.
Confirmed whooping cranes are sighted.
You know,
small.
You know, the population of whooping cranes, I mean, is small. Period.
Yeah. Right.
That is our problem here.
Which means it's very unlikely you'd ever hit one.
So
what are we worried about?
Yeah, the population is small, and the amount of usable, or the amount of space that it's taking up in relation to the greater area is small, and that's why the chance for mortality is small. But we need to kind of separate that out. So that, you know, maybe this part about 75% of the confirmed sighting goes up front.
I think the population size is poor choice of words there. The it's not really the population, it's the likelihood that they'll occur. Is and I know that it's small, but 75% is outside of the big, you remember the way they do that corridor? They've got an area in there that has 90% of the sightings, and then as you go out they have less and less, and we're out into the 75 area, which means we're out of the main corridor.
The person reading
where 90% are, yeah. And Fish and Wildlife has hit on that before too, that the way that the way they describe the corridor like that doesn't do it justice for what is meant. If you'd like, why don't I play with
are we
that?
Outside the main corridor?
Yeah, we're outside of the 90% corridor. Yeah, but we're within the 75% corridor.
Yeah, if you can play around with the wording of that, it's just.
But you could say just that. We're with this project area is with outside the 90% corridor.
Yes, we could.
Say it the other way around.
And in an area within, we're within 75% or something. I'll play with something and circulate it. And then if you read that and don't like it, let me know. Look back and see what we said in some of the other ones too.
Yeah, I mean the big point are that and the fact that only 50 acres is going to be permanently disturbed.
Right.
Okay, so and Minnesota is committed to marking all new transmission lines associated with the project within the Whipping Crane Corridor and with bird flight diverters. Minnesota Power will also mark an equal length of existing and previously unmarked transmission lines within the corridor to help reduce the potential for mortality associated with transmission line corridors. Furthermore, Minnesota has committed to providing at least $50,000 towards whooping crane conservation habitat enforcement efforts in North Dakota. We took some of this out. Was it the Bison one or the Basin project? They talked about how they were going to work on the HCP plan or something, and we decided not to leave that in. You remember? Or did we?
Oh, that's right.
I remember the discussion about it, but I don't remember what we...
And we took it out.
But the point, it's your point that whether they provide the money or not, it doesn't change what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because we believe it's valid.
So is that what we're going to take them out?
Take it out or check the basin wording, but I'm fine with having something like Minnesota Power is committed to participating in the habitat conservation work, something like that, but...
Okay.
Because that's what it was.
I think we might have taken it out in there, but if you want to not take them out.
It's a finding, but it doesn't relate to a conclusion.
Yeah. Is the preference to do the same as the basin, or do we want to?
I'd conform with the basin.
I would, too. Right. We thoughtfully decided something, I'm sure.
A wetland delineation was conducted for the Bison 1 wind project, and the results were submitted to the commission. Wetlands will be avoided to the extent practicable during construction phase of the project. If impacts to Clean Water Act jurisdictional waters are unavoidable in less than 1/2 acre, Minnesota Power will seek project authorization under Section 404, U.S. Army Corps of Engineer Nationwide Permit application. Permanent impacts to jurisdictional waters will be mitigated according to the core requirements.
I think you need to write out USACE the first time you use it.
Okay.
It's used somewhere else in the order.
I think we had...
In the finding. Yeah. It's a previous finding.
We had the wetlands discussed in the exclusion
there it is,
avoidance
the
area.
Top of page 6.
Okay.
Yep. Got it. Okay. Mitigative measures. 30. Morton County has established setbacks for wind turbine towers from property boundaries, road right-of-ways, and occupied residences. Each wind turbine must be not less than 1.25 times its total height, or 1,320 feet, whichever is greater, from the nearest occupied dwelling, commercial building, or publicly used structure or facility in state and county parks. From public road and above ground transmission lines, turbines must be located no less than 250 feet from the center line of the existing right-of-way. And from the wind energy facility perimeter, each turbine must be set back no less than 1.0 to 1.5 times its rotor diameter.
Can you imagine a turbine that's so large that 1.25 times its total height is more than 1,320 feet? I mean, I'm not against it, but that would be one large.
That would be, yeah, that would be big. I was noticing I was noticing more along the lines of the not less than 1.0 to 1.5 times its rotor diameter. I think that was pretty specific, huh?
Yeah, I'd say.
But all right, in this case, no turbines will be placed within 1,500 feet of an occupied residence. Average noise levels at each residence should not exceed 50 decibels. Also, no turbines will be placed within 300 feet of the center line of the existing public road or other above-ground transmission line right-of-ways. They are also following the 1.0 to 1.5 times its rotor diameter in Morton County. And in Oliver County, they are following a rotor radius from the property setback edges. Minnesota Power will maintain groundwater protection and soil conservation practices to protect topsoil and adjacent resources and to minimize soil erosion during construction and operation of the project. Best management project practices for erosion and sediment control will be used to minimize wind and water erosion in the project area during and after construction.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
This is according to Morton County's public.
Yep. Right. And that was. Yeah. And.
So, I mean, if one were to fall here, and I know they appear here, but haven't we usually, I mean, from our own standpoint, kept them 1.1 times?
We have. We have used the 1.1 where it's been proposed. We've kind of deferred on road right-of-ways to the local road authorities in cases because, you know, you don't always have with roads. Some things are like section line paths. Some things are like highways.
Well, we have that in the basin,
yeah.
Because there was one within 1.1.
And in this case, what we have is they met the Morton County requirements of 250 feet, and they actually went 300 feet. 306 feet is their closest one, and they did that in both counties.
To what?
To a road, centerline road right away.
Right away.
I don't know what kind of road that is. It could be a section line grass road. It could be a gravel county road. It could be a.
Yeah.
That was your, what you're getting at, isn't it?
Right.
And I don't have exactly what roads there are. There aren't much in the area for roads. We can ask them online. They're on.
I'd like to ask you, because I do, I'd prefer that we stay with that 1.1.
And I should call your attention here also.
Unless
that
it is just.
And we're on, while we're on that discussion, we had kind of used that same distance, and these aren't cast anywhere, but we had used it from the edge of the property
right.
as well.
Right.
And
they're saying 300 feet.
And here we're using the 1.0 to 1.5 times, whatever that works out to be, they've complied with in Morton County and Oliver County. They're using a rotor radius, which means there's no overhang.
I believe in above ground transmission.
And
we always have to keep them further than that.
Well, I don't think there are any transmission lines in within that area. So it's not that. But the question is, what do they got for roads? And I know the Highway 31 runs through there. I don't see anything else in the area that wouldn't be like a gravel road or something on a section line. But like I say, we have them on the phone. We can certainly ask.
Why don't you ask them, who's on the line?
Jim, you got that?
Jim probably can't hear Tony, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, the question I think was, what kind of roads have we got out there that we are within the 1.1 rotor diameters we've used in some previous cases. Are those section line roads or gravel township roads? Do you know?
Gary, this is Ron Gullix with Minnesota Power. Yeah, the closest turbine to an established roadway with an improved surface is our turbine number 20. And that's located about 303 feet north of what's designated as 28 and a half street in Oliver County. And that particular road is a very small, it's a, kind of a light-duty gravel road right now.
Does raise another question then.
Is that the only one is that the only one within 1.1?
Is there are there others within what would be 1.1? 400 and
it would be approximately 480 feet.
Okay.
From the are we talking 1.1 times rotor diameter?
That's what we had
base to tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 427 times 1.1,
430. Plus another 42.
Yeah, roughly 480 feet, roughly. And one other turbine would be within that distance, and that turbine is turbine number 6, and that's located 458 feet north of 28.5 Street. So they're both along that same road.
I think anything with a service, you get cars going down on a daily basis, that would be the area of concern.
And these were gravel?
Yes, that's a gravel road.
Gravel roads get a lot of traffic sometimes, too.
Yeah.
And there's a residence on that road, correct?
I believe the turbines are located to the west of the Gafford residence.
More thoughts on that, or you want to think about it and come back to it? Or?
When we went through the basin discussion, we determined it was basically just a trail that wasn't used except very sparingly. So that's where I was okay with it. But if it's a road, we got somebody driving by, that's a valid point. So how much did that cause the turbine to move one way or the other? And what is the impact?
Well, you know, usually when you think about road turbines being too close to a road, you're thinking more along the lines of somebody coming off the road and hitting the turbine. More of a problem is the thing falling down and going on the road. And so that's just, I guess, a reminder.
1.1 is really to avoid turbine falling on something that isn't part of the easement.
I don't know how they
either
get the
land or road or somebody else, you know, some other property.
Yeah.
The road belonging to the public is probably argued a little different. I mean, the likelihood of one falling at all is remote. That particular one falling is even more remote, and the likelihood of falling and hitting a car is about impossible. But that's not to say a car couldn't come upon it either if it's laying down. But the one is at least greater than the tip to base full height.
The number 20 is at 303 feet. Number 6 is at 458 feet.
I'm okay with those two.
Are you? One residence on the road, Brian?
Yeah. I think you make the argument. I mean, it's the county's road.
Well, and that's where it doesn't violate county.
Slightly, but it's a car being driving
right
by
at that moment.
Is the the owner to drive by there, they are a participating landowner or participating member?
The resident on that road, you mean?
Road?
Mr. Gafford is a participating landowner.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Now, how about transmission lines? Can we verify that there are none? Because that is a little different.
Yeah, I agree. It is. That could be a real big problem. Yeah.
And I did ask earlier if there were no transmission lines around it, but we can sure ask them again here if they.
Sure. Are there any transmission lines within the same proximity?
There are no. This is Ron Gold,
sure.
Minnesota Power. There are no existing transmission lines within the project area. However, Minnesota Power will be proposing a 230 kV line that will run from our collector substation back to the Square Butte sub.
Sure.
And we have maintained, I believe it's 400 and, we've maintained approximately 1.1 times the falling height of the equipment as an offset from that proposed alignment.
Great. Okay.
Okay, so I think that brings us to 34.
Okay. Let's just say 1 second. Go ahead. Yeah, that microphone.
On that, we should probably word this a little different than in number 32. No turbines will be placed within 300 feet of the center line of an existing public road, period. And then separate or 1.1 blade to tip or however you defined it from a transmission line.
Yeah, if they're not going to, we might as well state it that way.
Right. I mean, 30 is just talking about Morton County's requirements.
Or 1.1.
Do we have Oliver counties in there? Or do they not speak
to it? Oliver County doesn't have any.
Okay.
1.1 times turbine height?
Well, whatever.
However we've described it before.
Okay.
Or maybe we've done the math before. I don't know.
Well, for the folks from Minnesota Power, could you describe again how you defined 1.1 away from the transmission line that you plan on building?
Our criteria in siting the turbines and the transmission line was to maintain a distance of 1.1 times the falling height of the equipment from the center line of
okay.
the transmission line.
That makes
line.
Sense.
That's blade to tip, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, ground to tip. Yeah.
All right, yeah, ground to tip.
Okay, so I use turbine height here, ground to tip?
Sure.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I would think I'd mix that into 30. Is that good?
I think so.
Sure.
Just add it to the end.
It's a two-county project. We should just make mention of it.
Is this really what Morton County's specs say? Each turbine must be set back no less than 1 to 1.5 times its rotor diameter?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, but yeah, I guess it is. I haven't read it, but that's what they tell me.
Which means one.
Right.
I mean,
no less than 1.0
to
200.
350 times.
Well, there might be some definition in there that's.
They must have had a reason.
I'm sure. Yeah, like they couldn't agree what the number was. And that's our resident Morton County expert. I'm sure she could tell us. She could research that for us.
Okay. So that brings us up to 34. Minnesota Power has a legal obligation to decommission the wind energy facilities. 35, standard paragraph.
Do we really have to find their legal obligations, I guess?
And then our conclusions in order.
Also in 35, I'll note that we accept Minnesota Power's modification to 17 of the certificate that it will bury them 42 inches instead of 48.
Now, while we're on, before we leave findings then, your new finding 23, should we talk about that now then?
Oh, sure.
Which moves all these numbers one spot.
Okay, so we would replace 23 and renumber. 23 would be now the finding just before we talk about cultural resources. And say, according to North Dakota Geological Survey data submitted by the applicant, underground lignite coal reserves have been identified near the project area, but none have been identified within the project area.
Okay.
Okay.
At least any that this company owns. No.
It was the USGS map or US NDGS map. Okay, send it.
We can't put in, like, according to someone we talked to on 13th floor of the campus, doesn't look like there's any problems.
Okay, so the conclusions were the standard set of conclusions.
Yes, they were.
And order is all pretty standard, too.
Looks like you deleted something from 12, except as
obvious. Let me find 12 here. Yeah, I asked them why that was. They had added that. Our standard language puts a period after condition in there. All pre-existing township and county roads and lanes used during construction must be restored to a condition that will accommodate their previous use, and areas used as temporary roads during construction must be restored to their original condition, except as authorized by Morton and Oliver counties. And I guess I wondered if they had some kind of a road that they were temporarily using that they'd had some agreement with the county of, and I don't think that was the case, but we could ask them again here.
Well, yeah, or, you know, maybe the county signed off on some kind of deal where it's temporary during construction, but after it's done, they want it there because they like the road.
Maybe they wanted it as a favor, or maybe it was part of the deal. Maybe they were building them a road. What the heck?
Yeah, or unless you want to just leave that in there as...
Jim, is there
why
any...
Why don't we ask Minnesota Power?
Do you have any reason why that's worded that way that you guys can think of?
You know, the more I thought about it after we talked, Jerry, I think it's an artifact of where we think that in some cases we may need to actually upgrade some of these roads to get the equipment in there.
Okay.
Add surfacing and so forth.
Sure. So rather than turn a surface road back to gravel.
Yeah, or what I meant by surfacing would be additional Class 5 on top of what's already there, but we wouldn't want to strip that off and take it with us when we're done.
Okay. I'm fine with keeping.
Okay. Makes sense. You know, that might be something that we could make a standard language.
Yeah, that's
a good
bad.
Point.
I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
That's good. That'll give me one more thing to talk about at the Association of Counties when I
there you go.
Give my presentation next month, too.
Yeah. By the way.
That's right. Be sure to ask for a few roads.
Yeah. Make sure they don't take the gravel with
them. I think we're done, and we would try to have this on next agenda if that's...
Well done. It's nice to have a easy piece to work with.
It is. So that's what, the Tuesday, the 29th?
29th, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Great.
Thank you.
We can close the